Let's take our Bibles and open to the book of 3 John. We'll just go through the sheet that I gave you, and I won't keep you long. We are looking at or considering things that we are praying for our families, and we mentioned that when we say our families, yes, we might consider our immediate family, our extended family, but then also for the family of God, the church family that God has placed you in. There are always children, young people in our lives, and so we ought to pray for them. And the first thing, praying for our families, yesterday morning we considered salvation. That's where it begins, and it's God's will that none should perish. Not one of these little ones should perish, but they should all come into the fold. And this morning I'd like to talk about prosperity. I didn't see any eyebrows go up. That's good. We will not hear a prosperity gospel this morning, but how do we define prosperity? How do you define prosperity? Okay, since no one came out with it, we have the dictionary. Let's go to the dictionary. William, read for us the definition of prosper and prosperous and prosperity. Go ahead.
Prosper. To cause to prosper, to succeed, to be prosperous, thrive, flourish, to cause to succeed or flourish. Prosperity. Prosperous condition, good fortune, wealth, success. Prosperous. Well off, conductive of success, well-to-do, successful, flourishing.
All right.
Favorable.
All right. So now you got it, right? There's a number of words there that stood out a number of times. To prosper is to prosper. You got that? That's what it said, right? That's what it said, right? All right. But to succeed, to flourish, to thrive, right? And to a favorable condition, right? Prosperity. And so how do we measure prosperity? I mean, and now I don't necessarily want the Christian answer, you know, the church answer. We'll get to that. But how does the world measure prosperity?
By things.
How many things you have, how many possessions you have, how big is your bank account, your 401k, whatever it is. You're prosperous. Look at the house you have, the cars you have, the garage, whatever. You fulfill the American dream.
How long the driveway is,
yes. Right. All right, and we measure prosperity also in social status, right? How far we've have gone up the ladder in work, and, you know, are we the CEO yet, or whatever it may be. All right, but so the world has a way to measure prosperity, and we look at one another, and, you know, and yet that's not God's way. And so when we pray for prosperity for our children, I think it has to take a little different perspective for us as Christians. You know, I think maybe our parents, you know, the generation before us, some of them came to this country as immigrants, and they wanted to give us a better life than they had. Or maybe they were here for a generation already, but they wanted to give a better life to their children. Now, is that right?
Yes.
It is. Of course that's right. You know, if you dedicate your child in church, you say that you commit or you vow that you will give them every benefit of school, of home, of church. And to me, that means you're investing in their lives so that their lives will prosper and succeed. Now the piece that we need to place into this equation is the fact that we have Christ and they have Christ on their side. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so we succeed and we advance, not only in the things of this world. Beloved, if all we can pass on to our children is a bank account, then you have failed. I'm sorry. We need to pass on a godly inheritance.
Yes.
The example of a godly life. And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here. But in this little book of John, 3 John, let's read it briefly. There's just three verses there that I want you to see. Now, where is that little book? Right before Jude, right? All right. Beginning at verse 2, it says this. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Now, that's NIV. The King James will use the words prosper, right? It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Is that prosperity?
Yes.
Well, that is part of the prosperity that we desire for our children, that they would walk in the truth. Right, so down below, that's the first thing. What are the things we desire for our children? The first thing is that they walk in truth. He says that we should enjoy health, right? Is that what he's praying for? Is it Gaius? And we should enjoy... Or we should enjoy a peace that everything would go well with us. Right? That's it. Even as your souls prosper. You see, so the things are connected. And I think in Matthew's gospel and Jesus' teaching, Matthew 6, what does he say? 6:33, you don't even have to look that up, do you? It says, seek first, what? The kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, if you go back in the chapter, what are all those things? There's clothing. Don't worry about clothing. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about those natural things. If you seek first the kingdom of God, God will take care of that. God will bless. I think our sister mentioned that about priorities. If you put God first and you commit yourself to Him, then He's obligated to provide for your needs. But we need to seek first His kingdom. We need to get the order correct. And you see, again, I talk to the adults here. We need to model that for our children. Our children need to see that. That it's not just a verse that we memorize in church. It's not something that just we do on Sundays. But that every day we are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. How should our souls prosper? 2 Peter 3:18. Do you know what that says? What is that? Who knows it? What is it? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you measure success? Are you growing in grace? Am I growing in grace? Is God's work an ongoing thing in my life? Am I more like Jesus in 2023 than I was last year at camp? Brother Paul, how am I doing? But don't answer that, please. We ought to be able to see, beloved, that there's a growth going on in our lives. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. You don't reach a time when, well, that's it. I'm plateauing. I'm good now. I've been walking with God for 35 years. No, that growth continues until the day He takes us home, beloved. We grow in grace. And I like this. We grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can know Jesus better. I can love Him more. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Yes, yes, we sing it. And it ought to be true. Jesus, it ought to get sweeter. As we go on with Him, it ought to get better. The light should shine brighter. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more until that perfect day. Yes. And so there is a growth. There is a prosperity, a spiritual prosperity. So that's what it says. Material, fill in the blank, what? Prosperity without spiritual blessings is empty and void of eternal significance. You see, the Bible teaches us that the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal, everlasting. Those are the things that last. And so, beloved, we ought to pray that our children, our young people, have an encounter with God. That they would not be taught that success is only what you get in life, but that success is what you are able to give. You are able to be a blessing to those around you. A channel of God's love, that's success. Bringing someone to Calvary, pointing someone to the cross. Now, that not that we make a, you know, keep track of that, but beloved, are we bringing people to Jesus? There's another, just turn back to the second John. And beginning at verse 4, it says, "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth." There you have it again. "Just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that you love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." All right, so there are the other three, or the two at the bottom there. We want our children, the desire for our children is that they walk in what? In truth. The second thing is that they walk in love, and that they walk in obedience to God's word. I just want to go back and just briefly touch on each one of those. The desire, the prayers that we ought to pray for our children, yes, that God would keep them, that God would protect them, that God would make them healthy, God would make them strong, God would bless them in school. Those are all good prayers. But then include these as well. Lord Jesus, cause our children to walk in the truth. Now, I believe that begins with the Word of God. Jesus himself says that in his prayer in John 17, "Thy word is truth." Truth. "Thy word is truth." And so we have to pray that our children would love the Bible. Brant, Reed, you need to love God's word. Here is the truth. You're going to hear a lot of other things. School, from your friends. But here's the truth. Is the truth. But there's another thing that I want to say about the truth, because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so I believe when it says we walk in the truth, it's not only that we endeavor to obey the Bible, because the Bible, we've been taught, is just a pathway to the feet of Jesus. And if this truth does not lead you into a relationship with the one who is the truth, then you've missed it. We need to make sure that our children understand that the truth is found in Christ, in a relationship with him. You know, there's part of this word truth has the idea of being real, reality. Jesus is the truth. He is the real one. He's the real one. And if we are to truly live and prosper in this life and in the way that he intended, you know, when we were created in the garden, God created Adam and Eve. There was something he desired. He wanted them to walk with him. He wanted them to live in fellowship with him. And see, the only way we really understand truth or experience reality is in a relationship with our God. That's what he made us for. He created us so that we could be his dwelling place, that he could have fellowship with us. And so to walk in truth is to walk in that fellowship with the one who is the truth. Let's pray that our children, young people, and we as well would learn to walk with him day by day, to walk in the truth. The second thing, to walk in love. How important is that? Very important. That was a good answer. Very important was a good answer. To walk in love.
God is love.
There it is. It all comes together, right? I mean, it's all about really our relationship with our God, because our God is what? Love. And he says that you can't say you know God, you can't say you love God if you don't love your brother and sister, right? And so we need to teach our children and young people again and model it, beloved, model it before them, be that example where we are overflowing with the love of God. I said this last week. What is it that marks the Christian church, body of Christ, family of God? What is it? Love. By this shall all men know you are my disciples if you love one another. Love one another. Love one another. And there's this last thought of obedience, and I think that shows our love for God. We're commanded to love one another, to walk in love. And he says, this is the commandment you've received. And this is love, that you what? Walk in obedience. And you can find that in John's Gospel, John 14. He seems to indicate that if you love me, you will keep or obey my commands. That's what love is toward God. We can't say we love God and then kind of just do what we want and ignore his will, his revealed will. But no, we walk in obedience to his commandments because we love him. That's the expression of our love to God. And so love, again, is much more than a feeling and an emotion. But it's a choice that we make toward our God, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. That's the thing. That's the first commandment, the greatest commandment. And so we want to pray these prayers, these desires over our children, our families, our church families. Dear God, it gives me no greater joy than to find or to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I've heard it said, and maybe I don't have it exactly right, but my grandfather, Gottfried, was asked to pray or to say a few words at a dedication of a monument to, I don't know if it was World War II soldiers that had fallen in battle, and they were erecting a monument for them in his neighborhood in Glendale. And I've heard it said that this is one of the remarks that he made. He would rather have heard that his boys fell in battle than that they fell into sin. I have no greater joy than my children walk in the truth. We need to be encouraged again this morning, because I know that there are parents here who are praying for children who are wayward. We heard that, right? So we can continue to pray. Lord, I believe that you can redeem my children, and you can cause them to walk in truth and to walk in love and to walk in obedience to your commands. And so we have to have that faith and encouragement. Don't let the enemy discourage you. Don't let him bring condemnation. But let's have faith. Faith. That God is at work. That God will bring just the right word to their hearts, and God will bring just the right people into their lives. As we continue to pray, you know, in the book of Daniel, you have that picture of the spiritual aspect or warfare of prayer, and how the angel says, Daniel, as soon as you prayed, the first day that you prayed, your prayer was heard. So why the delay? He said, I was immediately sent. When you prayed, I was sent to fulfill that prayer, to answer that prayer. But I had to contend with the enemy. And we don't always see that. We don't see what's taking place. Has God heard our prayers? Yes. Yes. He sent his angel to bring about an answer. We have to believe that God will keep his word. His promises are true. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. And we have the petitions we have asked of him. Just at the bottom of this, and I'm it's not an all-encompassing list, but things that we can pray for our children, that they would find a good, godly husband and wife. Is that important?
Yes,
it is. A noble profession. Well, I think every profession can be noble if we do it for God. We do it heartily, not for men, but for God. We work with our hands or we work with our minds. We work with the abilities God has given. That's what makes it noble, because it's consecrated to him. My entire life is his. How about ministry in the kingdom? Have you prayed that your children would find a place of ministry, of service in God's kingdom? Does God's kingdom need workers? Yes, it does. How about praying that they just be hospitable, welcoming, generous, kind? Are these things important? Yes, they are. That their character would be Christ-like. That they would be giving, that they would be quick to forgive. And again, those are things that we, again, model and pattern for our children. I mean, I could go on, right? We could. You can add to that. That's what dot, dot, dot means. You just add to that list. But let's pray and believe that our children, our young people, would prosper as their souls prosper. Lord, you bless them, but Lord, you make them a blessing. Yes. Lord, bless them, but make their lives a blessing. Yes. Let's bow our heads. Sister Susan, would you pray with us, please?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for speaking to us this morning. We pray, Lord, may you help us to really take it to heart and pray these things through, Lord Jesus. Give us a real determination,
yes, Lord
Jesus, to see souls saved.
And give us a
cry to see souls saved.
Yes,
pray, Lord Jesus, for our families, for our friends, for our acquaintances. Lord Jesus, we realize, Lord, that it's a battle. We want to pray and have you save souls, dear Father. We pray, Lord, that you keep us today close to you, help us to walk in your presence, and keep us all in your precious blood.
Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. On the back of your sheets, there's a song. Maybe we could just sing that together. A Christian Home. Let's stand as we sing. Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught his love and favor and gives his heart to Christ the Crucified. How sweet to know that though his footsteps waver, his faithful Lord is walking by his side. Oh, give us homes where Christ is Lord and Master, precious hymn still sung, where prayer comes first in peace or in disaster, and praise is natural speech to every tongue, where mountains move before a faith that's vaster, and Christ's sufficient is for old and young. O Lord our God, our homes are thine forever. We trust to thee their problems, soil and care, their bonds of love, no enemy can sever. If thou art always Lord and Master there, be thou the center of our least endeavor. Be thou our guest, our hearts and homes to share. Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, that was the closing prayer. Amen. So we have to get that amen at the end. Amen. All right, so be it. You may be seated. This morning, we'd like to just have a little fun together. And so our tournaments will start at the boathouse. All right, so we'll be running shuffleboard and ping pong, right, for both the juniors or the young people and also for the old people. All right, so the older people. Did I say old people? I tell you, I did. The older folks. All right, so if you'd like to part, you know, we pass the sign sheet up around and our. Okay, it's right here. Okay, and our. Oh, we got more people signing up. All right, so Sister Ruth is going to head that up this morning, and I'll come down and help. And so if you signed up, just go down there. It'll go quick, and you can cheer everyone on and see who does best. Maybe we can run the ping pong first for the kids and the shuffleboard for the adults and then switch. All right, we'll do something like that.